It's showtime.
Showtime.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the Salt and the Smoke Cigar Cast. Drew, Mo,
Mook Outridge.
Yo.
Bringing the bull over here.
What's up, Becca?
What's up, gents?
First podcast of 2024.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. I think our last one was December 5th.
It was.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Sorry, we'll just do a podcast every time you release a new cigar, Mo.
Yeah. Well, that'll be once every 2 years at this pace.
It's legit.
How you guys been?
Missing you guys, man.
It's been a while. Too long.
Still, just
go for it.
Reading about $150 Monte Cristo 1935 will be debuting at PCA 2024.
It sure will.
With 10-year-old tobacco and rolled at AJ.
Man.
Sure, it's using AJ's tobacco. I'm assuming it's made at his factory. 20-count boxes, $3,000 MSRP.
I mean, I can't hate on this too much, right? Because there's so many companies that are like, let's do a $100 cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they were like, screw it. If they're paying $100, they'll pay $150, which is true.
Sure.
So, you know, good call on that part.
I mean, how much was that Cohiba Spectre or whatever it is?
Oh, what was the last one?
It was pricey, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They've always been like $100. I'm not sure if it went up for.
That's what I was thinking.
23. Looks like the 2022 was 130. Yeah, 130 is what they're going for now.
Damn.
How much?
This is higher. What, $130? Mm-hmm. So I think this is intentionally placed slightly higher.
Wait, is they're not Cohiba's General, right? And
Yeah. And Monte Cristo is Altadis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. So this is their little middle finger, I think.
I guess
we have a more expensive cigar than you.
Sometimes.
But we'll see. I don't see any packaging or anything like that. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure what's going to be interesting about it. It says the boxes will double as humidors, but for $3,000, it better. I don't know, man. I want to see what this looks like.
Yeah, no, I figured
will say that Cohiba. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you're going to charge $150 and you're going to announce that, you probably should have included a picture. I included one for my fucking $15 cigar or $12, whatever the fuck it is.
That's legit. But, like, the Cohiba Spectre has really cool packaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that like thing that goes up and down automatically to get the cigars out. It's like a hydraulic system is what they say. It's tubes and a hydraulic. It's really pretty cool.
Yeah. It is, actually.
So they got a lot to live up to.
No. We'll see.
And they're gonna lose in the taste wars to this other cigar that has been announced that we've talked about a couple of times just in the last couple of seconds. What's this other cigar, Mike?
Ain't that the truth? No, Oro de Nicaragua by Patina. And Drew, how were we? When did we really became friends in what, 2016?
Something like that. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
So Drew remembers the Oro from when.
Mm-hmm.
I moved back from Oklahoma and was going to Casa because it was released the same year that I moved back to Illinois. So,
well, tell people more about that. What is that cigar?
Yeah, man. So it was funny. And just to give you guys a little background, like whenever, like we used to have like dojo herfs for some of the guys from like Indiana and the Chicago area at Casas. So like that's the cigar I would buy boxes of and hand out to the guys that were coming to Chicago from out of town. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was made at my father. But Sam and Mike that owned Casa owned the name. So Oro de Nicaragua was their name. And then my father had just made it for them. And then I think in 2016, I can't remember if Sam and Mike decided not to do it anymore, or if my father said, hey, you know, we don't, I really don't know. I can't remember. I mean, I was working for them at that time because I was managing Puros. And mm-hmm. then I remember them saying, like, yeah, we're not getting any more of these. But I don't remember why. So, yeah, that was the last time the cigar was made. Nice. And so, yeah, man, I always loved the name and it just the history of, like, sharing it with so many people and stuff like that. And they weren't going to use it again. So I was like, hey. Is it for sale? No, actually, first it was, can I use it?
Right.
And then it was, you know, then it kind of morphed into that. So
that's cool. So tell us about the cigar itself, though. What is it?
It's damn good, man. Is what it is. Damn good.
Habano Oscuro, Ecuador, over Sumatra, Ecuador. And then Connecticut Broadleaf in Nicaragua, on the filler.
Yeah.
So a really, really mild cigar with very little flavor, right?
Extremely mild. No, you know what, man? Like, actually, like, I'm smoking it right now. Okay, so this first batch that's going out, the Toro is about 8 months old, 7 to 8 months. And then the rest of the sizes are about 6 months old. So it has mellowed,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but the Lancero is definitely the fucking strongest. I mean, that cigar knocks me out, honestly. So.
Gotta watch Drew smoke this thing.
Yeah, Drew smoked it.
Yeah, it was good. Super good.
Did it knock you out?
No, man, it was great.
That's hilarious, man.
It was no Patino Maduro.
That's like the lightest cigar in the world.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, it's exciting. Cool. You know, it's funny, like, some people were asking, you know, first of all, the number of people that ordered that cigar that obviously never tried it. It's the highest price point cigar outside of the anniversary core line. And the number of people that brought it in without trying it at that price point was really fucking cool. So, thank you to all those people. Like, that's really, really cool. But, you know, a lot of people are like, man, why don't you just wait till PCA? And, you know, I said to one guy, I said, man, listen, when you guys get to PCA, patina is the last fucking thing on your mind. And I understand that, and I understand why. So just wanted to get ahead of it, you know? Like, why wait till the show? It'll be on display at the show, but why not get it out? And then if people want to reorder at the show, they've already had it in their stores for a couple weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
that's why you're not competing with everybody else releasing something there and having the same press release timeline and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's Patina gets lost in the show. I mean, they just announced a $150 cigar. EP Carrillo is coming out with something new. Not EP Carrillo announced, you know, Monte Cristo announced a $150 cigar. EP Carrillo, Black Works just announced they're coming out with something new. Fratello, you know, whoever, I don't know. I'm just going through Half Wheel today, you know, and some other brands and stuff like that. So, dude, it's just, why set yourself up for failure, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
it's legit.
That's how I look at
cool.
it.
So everybody needs to order that cigar if you're listening to the podcast. Get out there, get the cigar.
Appreciate it, guys.
Pretty simple.
It was good. I ordered a box.
The cigars too?
Yes.
No, just the box. Give me an empty box so I can send a picture to Mo and pretend I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always interesting. But, you know, that won't be the only patina released this year. So that'll be one of two.
Well, what's the other one?
The 2024.
You don't have to say, but I have to ask.
Yeah, it's a 2024 limited. It'll actually be the anniversary blend in a 5x54. So
that sounds good.
It is, man. I thought I gave you one of those.
Did you give me that
one? I actually didn't. I think I just focused on the
Aura. I don't think so. Yeah, we did Aura. We did a whole day.
Yeah, we did Aura. Yeah.
Aura all day.
Yeah, I don't remember why. Yeah, but anyway. It turned out really good in that size. And I think 2025 is going to be year of the box press for patina. So
nice.
I think it'll be a box press that year.
That's awesome. So here's a question that I have that I know our listeners are going to wonder about. Can I call it the Oral de Nicaragua? Is that okay?
You know, I think, why not? Judgment free. We're like Planet Fitness, man. Judgment free zone. Just don't throw your weight.
Yeah, unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Yeah, that's true, actually. Is there anything else like that in the world where you actually get judged for doing something, is there any other place or thing that you guys could think of that's like that?
Where you get judged for, like, doing it correctly and doing it well, being good at it?
Yeah. It's really weird. The way you just said that, like, really hit me. Because that's fucking true.
So there are some, though, right? Like, depending on what it is, like, intellectual pursuits, you get called a nerd or get shot mm-hmm. up or some of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. growing up, was it the coolest to be the smartest kid in the class? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on the kid.
Right.
So, I'm
sure. Kyle, were you typically the smartest kid in your classes?
I mean, one of them. I didn't try to be that guy, though. Yeah,
but you were, or could have been?
Well, I was definitely super smart, but that's not like a brag or anything, but I wasn't trying
to
see people's faces or nothing. Right?
You would have been a nerd to do that.
So were you like Sheldon Cooper smart? Were you Sheldon Cooper smart or like Leonard Hofstadter, Roger Cuthbert-Polly?
Yeah, more of those guys.
I guess.
Yeah.
So you weren't like,
Right. But there's not a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, you're really good at that. And people who do that thing also think you are weird.
Right.
People outside of it, sure.
But isn't it interesting that literally judgment-free zone, but then they judge you? I mean, it's like hipsters that try to be different and then all end up dressing the same.
Yeah, well, that's just good. Because they can't use the tagline, the gym for unfit people.
Right.
Which is what the rest of us, you know, non-gym goers understand it as.
But the funny thing is, if you travel a lot, that's a great chain to join.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Like, I thought about getting a Planet Fitness just because, you know, wherever you go, there's going to be one.
Pretty much.
Legit. Drew, do you have a whole gym in your new place?
Oh, yeah. I
gotta ask about the new place. This is the transition.
Me and Mo talked about this.
Drew's transitioning.
Me and Mo talked about this before before you got on. I haven't moved yet, so I'm still in the old house.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope.
You're still prepping.
Yep, we're finishing up some remodel. We've moved a shit ton of stuff, Next Friday we have the actual movers coming for all the big shit. So
nice.
Next week.
Hell yeah.
So next time we podcast, Drew will have been living in his new house for 2 months and we can ask all about it.
It'll be like 6 months, but yeah.
Legit.
No, it hopefully won't be that long.
But does it have a gym? Do you have a gym space in it?
We have space, yeah.
Nice.
Nothing.
Now, did you go like Smith machine or you go like squat rack?
Oh, there's nothing in there right now. We just have the space for it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
We've got when we had the boys, we actually got rid of our stuff. We had a gym here at this house, mm-hmm. but we cleared it out to make a playroom for them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, wouldn't that be the playroom?
Well, for us.
Get them started young.
For me.
Yeah.
It's the sanity room. I need it for my sanity. But we've got the space for it. So, yeah, we'll have something. But
thanks. Do you still go to, is this still a Goals or did they change the name?
No, that got bought out. And no, I haven't been there in a long time. It got bought out by, I don't remember, man.
Yeah.
No, I go to my jiu-jitsu gym is also a gym.
Nice.
So.
Well, that's handy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I go there.
Very cool.
Very nice. Yeah, I haven't been there in a while, but other than for jiu-jitsu, I've still been going twice a week, but I haven't been there for lifting since December, but we've literally been over there every night that we can, either painting or...
Yeah.
Again, I told Mo some of this, but we moved a couple of walls to make a closet bigger and make a pantry bigger and painting and changing out lights and patching walls and all the fun stuff
of
moving.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The guy literally had like nail holes in every freaking wall and a million of them.
Looked like a dude on roid. Like a dude's his ass.
Yeah. Yeah, the house, all the walls, seriously. It was ridiculous. So. A couple weeks we'll be out and in the new one.
So, Drew, I need your help on something.
Yeah?
And Kyle, you're going to get bored as fuck. But before I get to that, I need to make a momentous announcement. I was able to, for those of you that need some lighter fluid, I was actually able to finally find some Zycar Premium on Amazon for the first time in I don't even know how long. And that pretty much fucking made my day.
Nice.
That stuff is fantastic.
Yeah?
I think so. I think it's really, really good.
I think I still have a can of it.
Yeah. So, anyway, just wanted to share that. Drew, the big thing these days that people are talking about, and I still have no fucking clue what it is, and maybe you don't either, but I figure you might. What is trend, and why are all these kids taking it?
No, I actually do know.
Oh, okay. I figured if there's anybody that was going to know.
trend is short for like trenbolone, I believe. Trenbolone? Trenbolone, whatever. Steroid, but it will. It's like what powerlifters take, like like freakishly strength,
mm-hmm.
like steroids on steroids.
Oh,
but it's also like super super like potent, obviously, to your body.
Sure, yeah, I would imagine.
But yeah, if you're, I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine, and there's probably better shit now, but if you're a power lifter, you're probably doing some trend. there's a scale to roids of like strength-wise, is like how much strength will it give you, like a 1 to 10 scale. And then there's a scale, too, of like, if you come off of that, how much will you retain, like a 1 to 10 scale?
Sure.
So like trend Trin's like a 9 or a 10 on the strength scale, but it's like a 0 on the keeping it after you come off.
Interesting.
Whereas like testosterone is going to be, I don't know, call it a 5 or a 6 maybe on the strength, but it's probably also like a 5 or a 6 on the keep it after you come off.
Sure. If you come off the right way.
If you come off the right way. And then, so then right. There's others. They stack them with, and I'm not going to know all of them, but like D-ball is also going to be like a quick strength, but you don't mm-hmm. keep it, which is why you stack it with something else. Like, this is going to get great. Like, Deca or, what's the other one? Equipoise.
Okay.
Those are very similar. Equipoise will keep you from holding water weight, whereas Deca will actually pack on some water weight. But those are like, those call those like a 2 of strength, but like yeah. a 8 of keeping shit on after you come off of them.
I gotcha.
So okay. if you stack the like 3 together, you should gain a lot of shit and keep it on. At least that's the idea.
Right. Yeah, that's the thought process. The best part about it is, and for people that don't know what any of this is, I just want to make this very fucking clear that all of that stuff is insanely expensive, especially if you're getting good shit.
Oh, yeah.
And the number of people that I see that are on something these days, and these are just like, I don't even go to a powerlifting gym. I just go to a regular gym. It's crazy, man.
Oh, there's like, a lot. It's a lot.
Forget the hell. Like, how do you afford that? And like, man, it's crazy. Not only that, but I mean, just the health wise, it's nuts.
I know some people.
Right. Yeah. I got a guy.
I just have a doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it all is.
And it's getting younger and younger.
It's oh, crazy, absolutely. Dude. Yeah, I've seen, and not so much in the gym I'm in now, but the previous gym that we went to, it was a big bodybuilder, mm-hmm. not really powerlifter, but kind of a big bodybuilder gym. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of the kids that were freaking easily early 20s, 20, 21 yeah. to 23, 4 maybe. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Fucking jacked.
No, I know.
And it was like, oh, you've been doing this a while, too. This is not like new.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, you could actually tell somebody that didn't really lift and just jumped on something and then started lifting.
Oh, absolutely. Like
their body just looks different.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
No, you can tell like a steroid body.
Yeah.
The issue too, well, so this one is really what you see now is the steroids, and you'll be able to know this, Mo. So if you think like back in the Arnold days,
mm-hmm.
And his body style type, whatever, yeah. he like when he was relaxed. Like he wasn't like there versus the guys you see right. now look like they're like flexing all the time type of look.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're not, yeah. but they are. They look like it. They're right. not actually flexing, but they never look like relaxed.
Yeah.
That's that like. Steroid quick, probably a lot of trend and stuff. There's other shit too, I'm yeah. sure, but that's that stuff.
Yeah.
That steroid look is, yeah. You can tell very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Pretty crazy.
A very quick process versus a longer drawn out process.
Mm-hmm.
And just
pretty much
just all the stuff, man. They're probably stacking all kinds of shit. Well, did we talk about what was the Liver King guy? Do you guys ever follow him?
I mean, I've seen him, but I don't know anything about him.
This was year 2 years ago. I can't remember. So
yeah, they found out he was on shit. Yeah, right?
But he claimed he was natural.
Okay, nobody that's ever stepped foot in a gym would think that guy was natural.
No. And we all called it, and even like Joe talked about it. He's like, "Bullshit! You're not natural."
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Well, somebody ended up finding like his roid bills, and it was like $15,000 a month. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah. You don't look like that at all. There's no physical way you can look like that and be natural.
No.
They don't go together.
No.
You can still look good, but you're not looking like that.
Yeah.
Natural.
No, you're just not. And, dude, you know how it is. Like, you start to put on some size, your stomach's coming with it.
Oh, yeah.
It just is.
Yeah. Well, and that's all the insulin and growth hormone and that's all that stuff now. That's when you get really pricey.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, dude, if you want to do it right, it's just like anything else.
Yeah,
right?
Throw some money at it.
gonna be in for a nice surprise.
Well, if you want to look like Liver King, it'll cost you $15,000 a month. That's without food, so
yeah,
it's gonna cost you more than that.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that's trend. Is that coming back around?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's huge strength, man. Just from what I know, like just ridiculous. Pretty much, you can take it and just gain the strength. That's just absurd.
That's wild. Yep, yeah, it's coming back as far as from what I've been told. But anyway. So now that Cow, you still awake?
Cow.
So we're not.
Cow, I do need to ask you something. So Yogi has been on probably what I would deem to be an unhealthy tear. With
running through the Culver's
with Culver's menu, do we share any sort of complicit might be a little strong. I mean, we're not liable, right, for telling him about it.
Legal sense, no.
No, I know, but I mean, his friends. I mean, I didn't realize when we told Yogi about Culver's or heard us talking about it that he was gonna run his way through the menu, but it's pretty fucking impressive. No,
it's like if you were to introduce your friend to their new significant other and they spend way too much time with that person,
mm-hmm.
Is that really your fault? No. Really. You just did the intro.
Right. Good point. Oh. All right. I feel better.
Yeah, and that is also going to be my legal defense when he has a heart attack.
Yogi, step away from the, let's be smart.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
You're in charge of you. Don't let me pretend. So, yeah. No, he's going on a tear, and I love it.
It's fucking impressive, not going to lie. But
it is.
It need is. Him around.
Yeah, there's that too. Legit. Yeah.
Shit.
Hey, did you guys see? Let me kick it back to some cigar news for a minute. Did you guys see that Caldwell sold his company?
Yeah.
Getting that cash.
Crazy.
Who voted? Who voted Caldwell? We did this in December, didn't we?
I'm sure I did. I've been calling it. He's been real obvious that he wanted to sell, from what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. I was less shocked by that and more shocked by the Fred Rui thing that you sent today.
Oh yeah, Fred Rui is on it. Illusion or Illusioni, however you say the company's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's just a time thing from what they said. Like, time's up, we're done with this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's odd if it's going well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that brand has done anywhere near what it could have done.
I mean,
like, have they actually grown?
Are fantastic. I don't know, honestly, bro. We share a couple brokers, and the brand is typically, one of the top call it three or four brands in the broker's portfolio. So I know they do well. I just don't know, you know, exactly, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, they make ridiculously good cigars.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't, they don't seem to sell the way I would expect them to.
You know, it's funny, man. So, like, for me, the Epernay and ECCJ have always been my favorite, right? And if you talk to a lot of, like, cigar nerds, that'll be their favorite cigar, too, right? Sure. But when you talk to, like, an Illusione smoker at a B&M, they never mention that cigar. It's always the MJ12.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, or the Rothschild, right?
Chico.
Or the Fumé de Amor.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one that, what's that other one that used to, that everyone used to go crazy about? Was it Cruzado?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, so I mean, it's just, interesting, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be curious to see where they go in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I had an interesting, I actually spent some time talking to Vlad from SOM last week. You know, love what he's doing, man. He just did that cigar with Eladio Diaz, and he thinks he does some of his other stuff at Cavalier and then also Kellner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then recently, like I look at another buddy of mine, you know, Eric Bay from Black Star Line. He did that cigar with Black Label. He did the cigar with, was that Isla? Or what, how do you say that, that factory? Is that what it is?
Close enough, sure.
And then he did that cigar. He's doing now one with Espinosa. But he was at Aganorsa for his core stuff, right? Or El Titan, or both of them, maybe. So it's, you're seeing this interesting trend of smaller boutique brands now kind of spreading out where they're making stuff, right? And, you know, him and I were kind of talking about, like, you know, the pluses and minuses and stuff. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Because, you know, it seems to be a lot more common now. Because, you know, if you look at back in the day, like, Tatawahe was my father. I guess you could say Crown Heads kind of pioneered that in a way, right? Because they used to have their stuff they made at EP Carrillo, their stuff that made they made with my father. And then was there another factory they used to use? I mean, now they make some of their stuff at Noxa, but I can't remember. I mean, they're making stuff at Luciano.
Pichardo factory.
Or Pichardo, yeah, yeah, Pichardo. So I guess it's nothing new. But it was interesting, man. I love getting their perspective, and Vlad's perspective was very interesting on it. I've chosen to go the different route. I mean, although we're probably going to do the next Sultans with Black Label. But what are your guys' thoughts on this?
Well, I guess let me throw some stuff. I don't think about it that much, but so I'll just say some stuff out loud and see where we end up, right? Mm-hmm. It's definitely interesting to try similar products from different factories. I think that's a fascinating thing.
Right.
But that's not what they're really doing. It would probably provide you the opportunity to sort of maximize what that factory is good at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really good at this thing. I want to make this mm-hmm. thing with them. Cool.
Right.
That sounds good. I imagine you sort of lose the loyalty bonus that you get from your factory when you're small, especially because, like, let's say your factory, Mo, was like, we're not dealing with you anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's disruptive.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's all right. Fall yeah. apart. Yep.
So I guess it's nice to have options, but also kind of problematic to have that many options. I guess you probably learn a lot, right, from all the different
sure.
people you work with.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know, as a consumer, you know, what cigar's got to be good. That's really the thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought
I'm not sure that was a helpful answer, but I said a lot of stuff.
No, absolutely. No, I think I see pluses and minuses to both approaches. I think, you know, certainly spreading out your risk probably doesn't hurt too.
Yeah, and depending on the factory, they, you know, if they don't have sort of the bandwidth to take something on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they can't increase your production, you kind of have to look somewhere else.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like if you know, I said to Knox, hey, I need to up the production on X cigar, and they're like, hey, man, we really don't have capacity, or, you know, why don't you do something new, and like, hey, we really don't have capacity. I mean,
yeah,
depending... Yeah, you would have to really start thinking about, okay, is there somebody else that could make this, or do I just wait? No.
Right.
It's interesting, man. I think that's what makes it all fun, though. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I think, you know, when I was talking to Vlad and, you know, just seeing, you know, to be able to go through a brand and have different factories represented within that brand and kind of be able to see their different work with each person, I think that's pretty cool.
Drew, does it matter to you at all?
No, but I haven't thought anything about this either.
Yeah. In the end, most of the time, if a brand is generally good, I'll probably try what they put out regardless of where it's from.
Yeah.
It's very rare now. It used to be that I'd be like, oh, this came out of that factory. Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've just had enough bad cigars from everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? That I care way less about that now.
Sure.
I would say
I used to be a factory hipster.
Oh, mm-hmm. I don't think I ever have been really. Other than no, I'm more like
you
brand
were never a factory guy.
No, if it's from the brand, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
Yep.
Whether it's from the same factory or not, a lot of times, even, I mean.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting. I mean, the way the industry is going, it's interesting. We'll see.
Legit.
There was a cigar that was coming out that I was like, yeah, I definitely need to try that. And I don't remember what it was now.
Not a whole lot of them that come out where that's the thought. There's some. Was it the Oral de Nicaragua?
The Oral de Nicaragua. Yeah, I think so. No, I mean, I actually... I meant to talk about it, but I don't know, maybe it'll come to me.
We smoked La Union.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I smoked. Okay, but there's two different sets, and I honestly have no fucking clue which ones I smoked. You know what I mean? There's one set that has... I did the first one, which I don't remember exactly what those were. But honestly, they were both really good cigars. But it's tough for me to tell somebody to go spend $60 on a cigar. That's just, I can't sit here and say, go do it. But did I enjoy the cigars? Yeah, I did.
Did you enjoy them more than you would enjoy a random My Father or Tatuaje cigar?
Depending on what they were, yeah. You know,
okay, fair enough.
If that makes sense.
The one that I had, I was like, well, that tastes like a My Father cigar, and I could just pick up any of them, and it would taste similar, and it'd be fine.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I definitely understand they want to appeal to a different consumer, so I get the thought process behind it. Because historically, My Father built their brand on La Flor de Antillas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably Le Bijou.
Right. We've got a few really strong lines.
Yeah. You know, you could argue my father blew, or the Don Pepin blew.
What did he blow?
Huh? Yeah. But, you know, and the Jaime Garcia, obviously. And those cigars were just, you know, very affordable. So, I don't know. But all, you know, all really good cigars.
There you have it.
But I'll tell you what, man. Over the years, my father has put out some really damn good limited editions. That's for sure.
Fair enough.
Anyway. What else we got?
We didn't have anything to begin with.
That's true. We had a couple topics, but we ran through them all pretty quick. Which is fair.
It's going to be interesting to see what TPE does for 2025. If they're going to try to...
Seems like they're falling off for the cigar side of the world and PCA is picking it back up. Is that an accurate read for somebody who's never been to TPE and hasn't been to PCA in almost a decade?
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% right. I feel like they have a perfect opportunity to jump right back in, though, because I am sensing from people that there is zero fucking excitement about going to New Orleans. So.
Is it next year? Next year's
New Orleans? Yeah. I mean, I know I have zero excitement for it. So.
You don't want to go to New Orleans?
I mean, dude, you got to think, like, Vegas, everything is so easy. Yeah, you know, that's true. Everything's within the hotel. You could smoke in the hotels. You know, you can't do that there. I mean, where are you going to go congregate? Where are you going to go, you know, meet with people or whatever? You know, if you want to have a cigar after the show, I mean, where do you go?
Vegas is definitely set up for conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. Why the switch?
I really don't know.
I think from what I was reading, and again, this is, I think, probably half wheel speculation. I could be wrong about that too. It sounded like they couldn't get that hotel in that space in a reasonable time.
Yeah. So probably
it was like either take a really, really weird part of a, you know, part of a year that wouldn't make any sense for anybody, mm-hmm. or move it.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Which, I mean, that's a good reason. to have to move something. We sold the slot out from under you. Okay. Now what?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Are you excited for 2024 PCA coming up real soon here?
Oh, man, yeah. No. No, the shows for me are just an opportunity to really see everybody. You know, typically all the stuff for Patina is done right before or right after the show. Usually, you know, you'll open up a few accounts at the show. No, this year could be different. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But I typically like to get my stuff done before I even get there.
So you just have to show up.
Yeah, because, you know, again, like, not a lot of people really talk about the business aspect of it, but, you know, you're a second or third day brand. You know, you got to be honest with yourself, right? I'm a second or third day brand, meaning, you know, in terms of priority, right?
Yeah, if I'm a retailer, I'm going to try and go to my biggest accounts or my biggest brands first and get my deals, get it all done, right? So maybe I go to Drew Estate, I go to
100%. You
know, Fuente, I go to Padron, whoever I go to, sure.
Exactly. And then, you know, you're a second-day brand for your existing customers that want to place reorders, things like that. You might meet with some new people. And then the third day, you're the brand that someone that wants to kick the tires on bringing something new in that maybe a few customers might have asked for, or they've seen, you know, on Half Wheel or, you know, whatever, on Instagram, and they want to get to know more about you, right? So that's really how it goes. So I just, if I can get stuff done, and then also before, you know, the credit cards start getting declined and stuff like that, it's better. I mean, honestly, yeah. For real, I mean, you know, you can't ship if you're not getting paid. And honestly, I think it's better for the retailers too. You know, their cost is already done on that, and they know what else they have to do. I look at it as a service.
Fair. So here's a question for you. Mo, you mentioned the Sultans of Smoke cigar. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this since our last podcast, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are the odds on that this year, guys?
Getting slimmer and slimmer. For this year, you know.
Well, it's not coming out. Up. Not coming out this year.
Yeah.
Sure, but like even... Yeah. Moving toward getting it ready, right?
I mean, that's kind of already been in the works, but
yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, it's really not that long a process. Yeah, I would love to do it. That'd be awesome.
Sweet.
What do you guys think?
I mean, it would be super cool. I was mostly just like, is this going to occur? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably going to go to Nicaragua early summer. So, you know,
have some you guys are available. Nicaragua there.
Well, yeah, somewhere over there. Yeah, no, I definitely don't do that when I go there. That is something I do not do. I do not dabble in the local cuisine. Reputation's all you got, man. But yeah, I'd love to
get out that he's a 12-second man.
Yeah, I might be a little generous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm living, you know, doing it up for the fans here.
Yeah. Well, we live in a world of exaggeration.
Right. This is the hype train.
I would absolutely love to do it. I think it would be really cool. I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when I tell people that we started podcasting we started the Sultans in 2014, and then what year did we first podcast? Was it 15 or 16?
I think 15.
Yeah. And then you tell people, oh, yeah, we did a cigar with James Brown, a Black Label, before Black Label was even a thing. I mean, honestly. People are like, holy fuck, man. Like, that's really cool. And then, like, it would just give us an opportunity to, like, tell that story again. Like, I mean, there were not a lot of people podcasting at that time, period, let alone cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat the Rush.
And then we got beat by the Rush, because...
Yeah, we just...
We wanted to have fun.
Yeah. It's been fun.
But I mean, we talked about, like, what direction do you want to take it? Like, what kind of blends would you guys want to do? You want to go strong again?
$151. That's what I want.
$151.
Beat that Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
You gonna smoke that cow?
I mean, if we're gonna make it for like $2 and sell it for $151, yeah, I'll smoke it.
No, the
for $2.
The
150?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go out of my way to get it.
But you would smoke it. Would you pay for it?
Sure, I mean. Probably not.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah, those are really like different questions. Yeah.
I've had some good Cohibas, non-Cuban Cohibas. I don't remember very many good non-Cuban Monte Cristos.
And I'm the one that got made fun of for smoking a Cohiba whatever back in the day.
It was the red dot, though, right?
It was not.
Oh, what one was it?
I did the... what was that, man? Shit.
Dude, it was a red dot.
No.
Yeah, it was.
No. Let me look it up. It was not.
It was.
Because that would make sense to me.
No.
It wasn't a Spectre, I'll tell you that, because it was like 2017 when we were giving you shit.
It was long before they made that. It's not a red dot. Cohiba. Red dot. Definitely not.
It's on the Sultan's page, I think.
I don't think that exists anymore.
No, on the really? Instagram.
Oh, it probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. It was something they had. They probably don't even make it anymore.
Oh, check this out. This is amazing. If you go to Instagram and you just type in Sultans of Smoke, all one thing, you'll see Sultans of Smoke _ Hookah Rentals, which is using your logo.
No, really?
That's awesome.
It has 2 followers. No posts.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I just thought that was hilarious. We are the Sultans of Smoke.
Yes.
Man, we had some good topics back in the day.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
I'm scrolling through our Instagram. Pretty good.
I've been logged out.
Remember when we did that one episode that was about Baracoa cigars and everybody thought it was
Baracoa? Oh, yeah.
And we got like 1 million listens or whatever. Well, yeah. 1 million, but it was a lot. Oh, this one about Drew versus Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good stuff.
And there are some gems on this.
Yeah, this is a walk through memory lane right here. Oh, everybody go look at this. The Sultans of Smoke.
Traffic.
Instagram.
This is going through the roof. Adventure. It's got to be way back there.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be 2017, 2016, I think.
Oh, Cohiba.
Wait, is that it?
PDR.
This is really interesting for people to listen to, I'm sure.
No, it's they're loving it.
They're probably going to their Instagram and looking through it, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Where is that
Cohiba? Scroll through our Instagram. Scroll with us.
Maybe you'll find it before we do.
Probably will.
Hopefully it doesn't take that long. It's got to be... I'm pretty far back.
Yeah. I don't know where this thing is.
I mean,
I don't think it... Maybe it didn't get posted.
Might not have.
What's an old Cohiba?
Might have thought better of it. Keep what little
whatever it was, they used to be pretty hard to find.
There was a CAO you posted, which was the Soprano one.
Yeah, that was on there. I saw
that. Those are real good. Those old Sopranos one that actually said the Sopranos. Those were so good.
Drew,
I'm not finding it.
Here it is.
Did you find it?
No way. Where is it?
July 10th, 2016.
Wow.
Cohiba Extra Vigoroso Red Dot.
Wait, what's the date?
That's like a CI sampler thing. July 10th, 2016.
I'm further than that. I missed like it.
Straight.
Wait,
straight.
Wait. I must have missed it. I'm in June 2016. Where is it?
July 10th, 2016.
July 10th.
It's between a Camacho.
Oh, and there Camacho. It is. Yeah. Yes. Yep. There it is. 107 likes on that bad boy, Griffith.
Hell yeah. I'm still trying to find it.
I mean, yeah, that's not, they do make good cigars. I'm not shitting on their brand. That's not one of them.
Do they still make that?
I don't know. You want to try one today?
Yeah, I'd fire it up if they still make them. I don't have any left in my humidor. God, we used to post a lot.
What happened? Yeah, we did, man. I mean, that was my only social media
true.
Until I started Patina.
Of course, we were reviewing at the time, too.
Yep. But that's not what that was.
No, that one was not. June. Still can't freaking find it. July. Didn't you say it was July?
Yeah, July 10th, I think I said. You can still buy that thing online.
No, what? Fuck it, I'll get one. We'll there it is. Yeah, the XV, that's what it was.
It looks like it might be discontinued.
Oh, see.
But you can still buy it for now. So you better jump on it quick.
I'm going to get one for reminiscing.
Old time sake.
What's the blend Let there?
Tell us what you think.
Sun-grown Sumatran wrapper.
Ooh.
Aged for 3 years.
Ooh.
Blend of Nicaraguan Ligero, Dominican... Palato.
Did you say Ligero?
Ligero?
Just let it slide. Don't be that guy.
What? How do you say it?
Ligero.
Oh. Ligero?
No. I thought you were fucking with us. I know you are.
And a binder of Connecticut Broadleaf. Dude, that's a hell of a good blend.
That's probably what got you to want to smoke it.
Shit.
This is interesting. So Catman reviewed it. And he's not known for being super nice to cigars that are not good. He gave it a 91.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
That was a damn good cigar. What a 660. No. There it is.
Ooh.
Discontinued item out of stock.
It was in one or two places I looked at.
Oh, you can still add it to car. I don't want a whole box. I want like a... I don't even want like a 5-pack. I want...
Like how can I order one?
Yeah, I just want one.
The shipping's going to be more than the cigar, probably.
I'd rather pay that, though. Yeah, the old XV. They used to be
There's tough to find. Instagram, it's going to be that one.
There was a when I first really really got into cigars. There was a Monte Cristo I used to love. It was called the Reserva Negra or something like that. It was like I think it was a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. Really really good. I mean, for my palate back then. I don't know about now. I don't think they make it anymore.
God, people only have boxes. Hey, if somebody can find me one of those cigars, I will buy it off you and pay for shipping and and like pay you for your time. I just want one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two. It's probably damn good. Maybe I should just buy the box.
You want the box? Don't let him lie to you.
How much are they a cigar?
Let me click back on here. Box of 20
bucks MSRP.
Yeah.
But yours for?
I kind of want the I got to go with the pyramid because that's what I'm smoking
eight,
in that
eight,
other one.
$8 a stick. $20 MSRP. I'm not one to talk. Actually, Patina recently got blown out on one of the sites, so. I always wonder if they took the time to try to sell the cigar as much as they took to blow it out. I wonder what would have happened.
1160. Oh, there's only 20 in a box. Damn it.
Only?
Well, I thought it was 25.
Well, I mean, worst comes to worst, something to hand out to people if you don't like it.
$14.55 a cigar for a discontinued Cohiba.
It's a classic. Well,
you can't get it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want
scarcity,
one.
My man.
What website are you on that has it? CI?
Planet Cigar? Is that even legit?
That's what I saw, too. That seemed like the best deal.
I have no idea.
The judgment-free cigar zone.
Yeah, judgment-free. It might be the place you want to buy it from.
Anywhere else is going to send you a note with it. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, are you sure?
You sure about that? It says products marked with an asterisk are not available in the desired quantity or not in stock. But it's not marked with an asterisk.
Sounds like a good site.
It sounds like they're not in stock either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can get them. If somebody knows where I can get one.
Someone's got to have one.
The deal still stands.
Your search is not extra vigoroso.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. Or tell me where I can buy one online, somebody. You know what the name of this podcast is going to be now?
Extra Vigoroso.
Yeah.
Oof.
What is it?
That's what XV stands for.
I thought it was 15.
Extra Vigoroso.
Oh.
15.
Yikes. Well, we know what Mo's next cigar is going to be called, too.
Yeah, Extra Vigoroso.
You're going to call it? Yeah.
Oral de Vigoroso.
Oral de Vigoroso.
Well, everyone likes some good oral de Vigoroso in their life.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got, guys?
Yeah, what else? Nothing?
That's all I got. Well, shit.
Well, shit, boys. Next time?
Next time.
All right, we'll try again.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, boys.
See you guys.
See you in another 3 months. Later.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of the Sultans of Smoke Cigar Cast. Make sure you guys are checking us out on Instagram, Facebook, direct message us, email the Sultans of Smoke at gmail.com if you got any questions or comments for the show. And we will catch you guys next week. Thanks.